We've had a beautiful day to begin our time together. Sometimes it rains in Arkansas, and sometimes it rains during some of our most important occasions, but it didn't today, and I'm thankful for that. Sometimes it just pours down cats and dogs, and we all have to just get under umbrellas and raincoats, and we all get in here and we all huddle in here together, and sometimes it's cold as whiz, and we all just get in here like we're under a nice warm blanket, and we have the best times being together. It's terrible getting here, but then it's good when you're here together, and we'll look for some of those times. Sometimes it snows. In fact, it snowed last year about three times, and those of us that like snow, we were in our hog heaven. It was good. Don't throw snowballs. I threw one the year before last and cost me $50. Hit a girl in the eye and knocked her contact out. And it was on the way from Sunday school to church. Okay, take what you want and pay for it. And I did, I guess, as I hadn't thought about that. This morning we noticed that every lifestyle is actually one of sacrificial living, that you're going to pay for what you get. Not just godliness requires sacrifice, but every lifestyle does. We notice that Christ confronts us with the fact that whether we choose the bad or the good, the best or the less than best, we're going to pay for what we choose. And this year, you're going to choose between some alternatives. You're going to choose between good grades and bad grades, or good grades and poor grades. You're going to choose between purity and impurity, from that which is noble and that which is ignoble. You'll choose between those. You'll choose between the better and the best many times. And not all of your choices will be between evil and good. Some of it will be just simply between the best and the mediocre. And I don't know what you want for yourself, but you need to ask and find out. Which will you choose for your life this year? It's an important choice. This is an important year. Today's an important day. And you're an important person. There's just one of you on earth. Nobody else like you. There's just one day like today. Not another day will be just like this. There's just one year like this year in your life. It has certain qualities that no other year will possess. And your life is peculiar to you. And it has a specific, peculiar place in God's plan. So wake up. Find out why you're here and be about your business. Don't be content to trade your diamonds for dust. Insist on trading dust for diamonds, and God gives you that opportunity. Jesus asks the question, as we noticed this morning, what will a man give in exchange for his life? And many of you will shortchange yourselves. What I'm hoping to do at this very outset is to cause you to decide I'm not going to shortchange myself any longer. God has made me valuable, and I'm going to see to it that I don't come out on the short end of the stick. Take what you want, but remember, you'll pay for it. Tonight, I want us to trace that principle out a bit further. It's pretty profound, and I want us to see what almost looks like an unfair arrangement. And it's this. The person that chooses that which is evil, and I'm going to say evil to keep from I mean by evil anything that is base or low. And we may even put in there the mediocre. But we're just going to call it evil to make it short. The person that chooses the evil, he gets what he chooses now and he pays for it later. While the person who chooses the good, and by good I mean that which is noble and high and elevated, the person that chooses the good has to pay for it now, and he doesn't get it till later. Well, that's almost unfair. You say, why is it like that? I don't know why it's like that. But you understand what I'm saying. The person that chooses the evil, he gets it now, and he pays it later. The person that chooses the good, the high, and the noble, he has to pay for it now, and he gets it later. For example, the boy that wants to spend his life just as a lazy slob, who doesn't want to study and who doesn't want to do anything. He just lays around watching TV all day and becomes one of the red-eyed perchers, one of the birds, the red-eyed perchers. You can see them perching on the TV all day and night. If he wants to be that way, he can do it now. You can get as the world burns or as the world turns and whatever. You can get it right now. But he'll have to pay for it later. The youth who chooses a lazy, idle life can have it at once. You don't have to wait 4 years to be awarded that kind of a life. You'll pay for it later, but you can have it right now. But the youth who wants a diploma with honor, he can't have that right now. There are some of you here who are freshmen that perhaps you'd like to have a diploma with honor. Well, good for you, but you can't have it right now. You can pay for it now. In fact, you'll have to pay for it now, but it only comes later. It's 4 years away. But the paying for it begins right now. In fact, the paying for it begins tomorrow, or it begins today. We'll just make it today because you're going to pay for it today, but you won't get it for 4 years from now. If a boy wants a life of sensual pleasure, if he wants a life of sensual excess, or a girl wants a type of instant popularity, well, man, you don't have to wait for that. You can get it almost anywhere at any time. You can get it right now if you want it. But the person that's looking for a Christian character, who really wants to be a Christian character, like a great big tree planted by water. Trees don't grow up overnight. Mushrooms do, but not trees. And if you're wanting to be a Christian character, reflecting the honor of God and the glory of Jesus Christ, that takes years. And you'll have to pay the price now. And the character and the quality and all comes later. If there's one lesson that I've learned from the parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 maidens, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish maidens, is that the oil for godly lamps must be purchased in advance. Now, there were these two people, or two classes of people. One went out, you know, half-cocked, and here they went with their lamps, but they didn't take the oil for them. And before long, their lamps or their life began to smell and to stink and to smoke. But the person who prepared for a godly display of God's light, that person went down and delayed his departure. He went down to the store, bought in advance the oil for his godly lamp, and that lesson sticks out like a sore thumb. It's there. The person that chooses the ill or the evil or the low or the base can have what he wants immediately, but he'll pay for it later, while the person who chooses the good and the noble and the high, he'll pay for it now. But he doesn't get it until later. But listen, don't let anybody fool you. You may get evil on the installment plan, but don't be deceived. The bills are going to come in. Galatians, the 6th chapter, says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And he said, don't get tired in well-doing. See there, he's talking about reaping in advance, or reaping in the future. He'll reap eternal life. And he says, and don't get weary in well-doing. You'll reap in due season. And that's necessary to tell people who are wanting to do what's right. He has to tell them, but don't get discouraged. Hold on. Stick in there. Because the reward for doing right doesn't always come immediately. Well, there's another verse that I want to read, and that's Romans, the 2nd chapter. If you want to turn to this one, turn with me, because it's a startling thing. This is it's not a threat, it's a promise. Romans 2:6. "For he," that is God, "will render to every man," that is generally, in generic, man and woman, "he will render to every person according to his works, to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. He will give eternal life. But for those who are factious and do not obey the truth, but obey wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap." Well, that's not really the principle, though, that gets most of us here. When you talk about choosing the low and the base and the ignoble and doing that intentionally, I don't think you hit very many of us here. I don't believe that there are many people in this room who intentionally choose what's ignoble and base and evil. I don't think that. I think that's right, at least. I don't think that you intentionally choose that. You know what gets us? It's this second principle. The second principle is how easy it is to choose the noble, how easy it is to choose the high and the honorable and the good in general, and then don't do a blooming thing to bring it about. We give out before we come to the end of the rainbow. We give out before we get to the prize. It's so easy, and it's so much within our character, because you see, we've been raised in Christian homes, most of us, and we know what's good, we know what's noble, we know what's right, and it's so easy to fool ourselves into making the choice for what's good and then not giving the necessary energy to pay the price to get it. That's what gets most of us. I don't think that you're here tonight intentionally, willfully saying, okay, I'm going to choose the low and the base and fool with those diamonds. I want the dust. I don't think that's you. It's not me. I don't act like that. I know what I want. I know what's good for me. I know what's noble. I know what's honorable. But when I reach down in my bag of energy to do what I know is right, sometimes I find that there's not anything in there to do it with. We don't pay the price. And herein lies the reason for some of our most glaring inconsistencies, not to say hypocrisies. You know, we're hypocritical. We say we want something, but we don't do anything to get it. Now, for example, in Luke 14:27, Jesus told this story. Which of you, desiring to build a tower, will not first sit down and count the cost to see whether or not he's able to finish? Lest when he's laid the foundation, he's not able to finish, people laugh and mock him and say, this man started to build and couldn't finish. It's hard to miss the thrust of that question of Jesus. Which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost? It's easy to desire towers. It's easy to desire things that are ideal and idealistic. And if there were ever any idealistic people in the world, young people are the most idealistic people on the face of God's earth. You're so idealistic. And it's so easy to build these idealistic towers. Such towers as a good education. Such towers as, purity, integrity, good grades, a Christian home, a faithful marriage. My, they're noble aspirations, idealistic goals. Which one of you, desiring to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and count the cost to see whether or not he has enough to finish it? What good are good intentions if we don't follow through to the end? And you know that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's an old adage that's true. Well, which of you, desiring to build a tower? I think the most glaring error of this assembly, as I've said earlier, is not the willful choice or choosing of that which is evil or low or base. It's the choosing of that which is noble and the failing to pay the necessary price to secure it. How many of you have got... You've already made noble aspirations about your grades this year. You know how I know? How many of you have already bought some books and some notebooks and things? Let me see your hands. If you've already done that, you're going to do that tomorrow. A few of you, okay, you haven't done it yet. Let me show you what you're going to do. You're going to go over there to the, what's it called, the hub now. That's new. That's brand new. Harding University Bookstore, hub. You not seen it, Bill? Go look at it. You've already seen it. You're going to go over there, and you're going to go through there, and you're going to find these notebooks, these little nice, neat notebooks, and they're just as clean. They ain't a mark on them, and you're going to get over there, and you're going to find you're going to get you one for every course now. You get one of these nice notebooks, and you take it, and you go and get a nice, you get the text for each course, and you may buy a brand new book. You may buy a used one, but you may buy a new one, too. Probably you have to buy a new one. They outdate the ones, you know, the year before, so you have to buy a new one. So you buy these, a new book, of course, you know, and you buy the, and you know what you do? Boy, you take that bundle of stuff, about $100 worth, and you go up to your room and you sit down, and some of you who are very artistic, you put it in there and scroll writing your name and all that, you know, and you, yeah. And some of you who are really energetic, you cover your books, you know, put little covers on them to keep them warm, and you get them all fixed in the, And you're so proud, and man, you get up the first morning, you know, and you get up to, and you get dressed and showered, and you go to class the first day in your own time, and you're going to really do a good job. Noble aspirations, desiring to build a tower. 2 weeks later, you're trying to find out what happened. You lost your book. You're late for class. You didn't even shower. Barely had time to eat breakfast. What's happened? Well, you forgot to count the cost. Your noble aspiration, that's good. But are you willing to follow through on it? Well, a lot of you will make resolutions for good morals also this year. But you'll find yourself running around with the wrong crowd. And they're here. They're probably here in this assembly. Many of you, or many of them, are here in this assembly. And water will find its own level unless it has a force to push it to a higher ground or a higher grade. And there are those of you who have attained a certain level before you came. And your level is here. Unless you make special arrangements to get out of that level, regardless of what your aspirations may be, and regardless of how much you want to build that tower of integrity and a tower of purity, you know what will happen? You'll just slowly gravitate toward those of who were like you were, and you'll be running around with the wrong crowd. And Paul says, don't be deceived. Here's another warning. Don't be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. And then will be written, perhaps across your record, he had great potential, but he got to running with the wrong crowd. And the wrong crowd is here. Don't think for a moment that it's not. Which of you are desiring to build a tower, but you don't follow through? Or some of you will have the aspiration to be an active part of this congregation. And you want to be a part of it, and that's great. And there's so many activities going on, it's going to be difficult. This is going to be one of the things that you'll want to do, and you really will want to do it. And you say, I'm going to be there for Sunday school on Sunday morning. I'm going to be there for worship on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I'm not going to miss a time. And yet you know what you'll do on Saturday night? You'll stay up so late that you can't get up to go to Sunday school. And when you come to church and sit here in the assembly, I'll begin to be three. You know, you can handle two. But when I start being three, I wish you'd just close your eyes and listen with your ears. Because it's terribly difficult to listen to somebody when there are three of them standing up there. Wanting to build a tower, but you don't have the necessary wherewith to pay the cost. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to go to sleep at a reasonable hour on Saturday night so that you can be here fresh for the Lord's Day, ready to do the studying that we're going to do this year? I'm going to put you through the mill. We're going to learn how to transform disciples into ambassadors this year. And I don't know whether you want to be a part of that or not, but it's going to take some people who are fresh-minded, who've been to sleep on Saturday night long enough to get some rest. Do you desire to be an ambassador for Christ? All right, you're a disciple now. Do you want to be transformed into an ambassador? Yeah, you say, I want to be an ambassador. That's a noble task. That's a high and noble calling. It's a fine tower to want to build. All right. Are you willing to pay the cost? Think about it. Well, look, this is a principle. In Luke, the 9th chapter, and verse 62, Jesus expressed it in a different way. I want you to look at that. It's the same principle, really, and they didn't see it until today. Luke 9:62. Jesus there concludes by saying, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, now that plow handle does not just fit the subject of the kingdom of God. It's a principle he's talking about. He's talking about the same principle as wanting to build a tower and not having the wherewith to finish it. Here he likens it to a plow and a plow handle and a task, and yet turning around and looking back at what was before. It's the same principle. And it doesn't matter whether it's the kingdom of God or a Weight Watchers club. He could just as easily have said, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the Weight Watchers club. You don't understand it, do you? Or do you? He who puts his hand to the diet, let me do it like that then. He who putteth his hand to the diet and looks back at the chocolate pie as not fit for the Weight Watchers Club. That's what he's saying. He's simply saying, once you've made up your mind, do it. Choose, as somebody said, H.L. Hunt. Isn't that the oil man, H.L. Hunt? That's his initials. You know him personally, don't you, Bill? H.L.? It's H.L. Hunt. Somebody told me this morning, H.L. Hunt says, make your choice as to what you want, determine the cost, and then get on about your business. Now, those are three steps to success that H.L. Hunt says are absolutely essential. Find out what you want, determine the cost, and then get about your business. Now, that's all that Jesus was saying. And he said to put your hand to the plow and then have second thoughts and look back there longingly to what was behind, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. That's what happened to the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. You know how they looked back from the plow? They put their hand to the plow to go through that wilderness, and they looked back at all the onions and the leeks and everything, and they said, oh, wish we had died in Egypt. Wish we were still in Egypt where we ate fish, you know, and ate bread to the full and had onions and garlics and leeks. They were looking back from the plow. Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom. You're not fit for the land of Canaan. And they weren't. And they didn't get there. Well, how easy it is for us to choose the good in general and then completely fail to pay the price for getting it. There's a third thought that I want to leave with you tonight regarding choices and paying for them. And that is, not all the bills for what you do will be presented to you. Not all of the bills. You're going to pay for what you get. But not all of the bills are going to be presented to you. Some of them will be presented to your loved ones. And I'm talking here about things that are ignoble. Oh, the good things will be too. The honor that comes from you as a child, as a young person, will be passed on to your mother and father. You don't know what being full feels like until you have children who honor you by the way they live their lives. Old Jimmy Allen stood here last night bawled like a baby trying to marry off Cindy. I knew it. I've been telling everybody in town, if you want to see a grown man cry, come Saturday night. You know why? Because he loves her dearly. She's one of the most precious little girls, and she's an honor to him wherever she goes. She's never been anything but an honor to Marilyn and Jimmy. Boy, he just struts like a peacock. And young Jimmy's the same way. All those kids are a reflection of honor, and their mother and daddy just proud as punch of them. In fact, that's what Solomon said back in the Proverbs. He said, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. And then in the 17th chapter in verse 23, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. But that wise son, my goodness, he's an honor to his mother and daddy. I just married off my son, Tim, last Friday night. Well, I was so proud of that boy and the lovely Christian woman that he married. I'm so proud of my children, I just can't quit thanking God for them. But the other's also true. Sometimes they're an embarrassment to you. And listen, I've watched mothers and fathers come and pick up their children to school who've been expelled. I've watched them come and stand with tears in their eyes, heartbroken, because they were called by the administration, you'll have to come and get Sally or Susan or John or Jack. They can't be here any longer. You see, you don't receive all of the bills for what you do, good or bad. Your loved ones do many times. Sometimes they're passed on to your children. You know the ones who pay for hasty marriages? Oh, it's not you, it's your children. You know the ones who pay for divorces? It's not the ones that are divorcing, it's the children. You know the ones who pay serious bills for promiscuity and for a life of dissipation, for venereal disease? You know who really pays the cost? The children who are born blind from such a union. That's one of the seemingly inequities of life, that the children are visited not with the guilt of the parents, but with the consequences of the parents. So what you do many times is passed on to your children, or the bills are sent to your mother and father. I don't like a song it's not really popular now, but it's still being sung. What's the name of it? It's called, as far as I can tell, It's My Life. What's it called? Boy, that's the most rank and blatant thing. What he's saying is, get off my case. Get off my back. It's my life. Rubbish. That's not true. And I wish, and you'll hear me say more things about music during the year. Don't sing that song. It is not just your life. It belongs to your parents. It belongs to your children. It belongs to everyone. No man is an island. Well, in conclusion, let me simply say this. There are some things that we get that we don't pay for. There are some things that are free. Your American heritage is free, really. You didn't fight to secure it, and you're not fighting to preserve it. You didn't go to the war. Many of you did, but the vast majority of us here today have not shed any blood nor lost anyone in securing or maintaining our American heritage. The university campus, pretty well free to you. You think, well, man, you know, it's $60 an hour or more. I know that. You say, that doesn't look very free to me. Do you realize for every one of those $60, they have to raise about two more 60s, isn't it? Isn't it about somebody that's here from the development office? It's a lot. You don't pay all the price. This building mostly is free. Most of you in here didn't have probably anything to do with building it. If you had anything to do with it, it wasn't much. Some of you desired to build the tower, but you didn't have wherewith to follow through. Many of you made pledges and never did pay them. Sure did. You may be here tonight that made a pledge some 3 or 4 years ago and never did pay it. But say, just for the sake of argument, this building and this church and all the services that we offer you as students, most of that's pretty free. Eternal life is free. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's free to you. But listen, somebody paid for it. It's not totally free. Somebody paid for it. Somebody paid for your American heritage. Somebody paid for this campus. And somebody paid for this building. Somebody paid for eternal life for you. Which calls for another choice. You can either pass him by and say, I don't want to have anything to do with him. Or you can say, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. So there you are again, another choice to make. But remember, the one that chooses evil, or that's base and low, he can get what he chooses now, but he'll have to pay for it later. If you choose what's good and noble and high, you'll have to pay for it now and wait until later to get it. But the thing that really gets to us is that it's so easy to choose what's good and then not follow through. And be careful. Don't live your life this year so that the loved ones who are yours will spend the rest of their life paying off some of your debts. Well, we're going to have a good year. I urge you, I challenge you, be serious about it. I'm going to cut a limb off out from under you and make you either sink or swim. We're going to have some good times studying together. We're going to have some good times looking at ourselves. Sometimes you're going to laugh. Sometimes you're going to cry. Sometimes probably you'll yawn and maybe go to sleep. But come on. You can sleep as well here as you can anywhere else. But keep upgrading yourself. And let's get at it. Find out what the cost is. Determine what you want. Find out what the cost is. And let's be about our business. Tonight, we're going to sing an invitation song, I guess, and we're going to make at least a song of encouragement. There may be somebody tonight that would like to start getting on with their business now. And you'd like to just simply say, Lord, I want that tower, and I'm going to commit myself to it now. If you're not a Christian, there's water prepared here by or in which you can be buried to simulate the death and burial of Jesus Christ who has come to save you. That's where you can simulate that death and burial and resurrection. And that's what he requires of you. If you believe in him enough that you're going to commit yourself to be with him, come whatever may, you're going to be with Jesus Christ. If you're there in your faith, then come on forward and let's say, look, I want to become a Christian. if you're already a Christian and you need some help, and you just simply want to let people know whose side you're on. You're kind of shaky, you know. You don't quite know whether you're strong enough. Just come up and say, look, I want to put out a stake right now. I'm a Christian and I want it to be known. Or it may be that there's some resident people here who would like to place membership with this congregation. And incidentally, as far as the student body is concerned, we want all of you to place membership with this congregation. But we're going to be telling you how to do it in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Don't all of you come forward this morning or tonight, please. Wouldn't that be a mess? I hope you'll respond in your heart right now while we stand and sing.